Welcome to the August 8th, 2014 Drupalize Me podcast. Drupalize Me. Welcome, everybody. I have with me three guests today, and we're going to be talking about news. We'll get a little more into that in a second. But let me introduce my guests who have been so gracious to join us today. First, I have Mike Anello from the Drupal Easy podcast.
Hello, Addy. Thanks for having me back. Always a pleasure.
Indeedy. And we have Bob Kepford from the Weekly Drop newsletter.
Hello. Good to be here.
And then we have Chris Webber, who is does a Google Plus community Drupal and Coffee in the Morning hangout stuff. He's like the man of Google Plus.
Hey, everybody.
Cool. So, like I said, the reason we have these guys on the podcast, and it's kind of a strange meta podcast because we're talking about how you find out about Drupal news, what's going on, why is it important, and how do you keep up with it? And of course, that's kind of what this podcast is for. So, it's like some kind of like podcast inception happening right now. Before we actually get into the details of all that stuff, though, let me run through news and events real quick. So, in video stuff that we have going on, we wrapped up an entire series on Field API, and then this week we continue the panel series. So we put out like a free panel series with Jem Lampton last year, and it didn't quite get finished. So Amber has picked up the torch and is going to finish it through with a whole bunch of panel stuff and C-Tools plugin stuff. So that's got going again this week. And then in like Drupal core news, we're really close on the beta blockers right now. What's it down to 3, I think? So for those who don't know, there are bugs, critical bugs out there that we've labeled as beta blockers, and we can't launch a beta version of Drupal 8 until all of those have been closed out, and we're getting really close. And so one of the big ones that just happened, I think in the last week or two, was the menu API. There are a bunch of changes to change all of that menu stuff into plugins, the new plugin system in Drupal 8. And that's done. It was a big one. And so we have just a few more that are left, and hopefully we're going to see a beta soonish. I don't know. We could place our bets, you know, before DrupalCon Amsterdam, maybe. I don't know. I mean, there are 3 left, but they're really bears. So that's the reason that they've been sitting around there for a while. So we'll see. But anyway, Drupal 8, we're getting closer little by little. And then events that are coming up. So this weekend, as in like right now while you're listening to this podcast, if you listen to it on the day it came out, we have Drupal Camp Twin Cities is happening in Minneapolis. And that's going to go all the way through the weekend. So if you didn't even know about it and you're just finding out now, run down there and find out what's going on.
Tickets are really inexpensive.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. So Chris is going to be there. And also Joe Schindler from Drupalize Me is going to be there as well. And on Sunday the 10th, there's going to be a whole bunch of sprinting going on down at the Nerdery, which is where Chris is working. So go check that out if you are in the Midwest area. Let's see. Other stuff in August. Front End United is happening here in my hometown of Copenhagen, Denmark. It's August 29th through 31st. I think they just got the tickets on sale, like maybe today. So, or very recently. So go ahead and check that out if you happen to be in Northern Europe. I'm sure I'm going to be hanging out with those folks. I should also mention that Gay Pride is that weekend. So it's going to be kind of like a double whammy fun weekend for me. And then we have, in September, we have Drupal Camp LA, which is September 6th and 7th, and Bob is going to be speaking there and at the LA camp. He's from LA. And then, of course, DrupalCon Amsterdam, the big show coming up September 29th through October 2nd, and there's going to be a whole bunch of folks speaking there. I'm going to be there speaking. Joe Schindler's there. Dave Reed. I think a couple of other Lullabots. There's certainly going to be a bunch of Lullabots there. Are any of you guys going to Amsterdam?
No.
I'm on the fence still. I have an opportunity that might be paying for a good portion of a portion of the trip. So
nice.
If I can make that happen, then I'll be there.
Awesome.
I won't be able to make it.
Wop wop. Yeah, it's much easier for me, right? it's a little too
hop
hour
on your
fun.
Bike.
Yeah. Yeah. So it makes sense for me, but. But yeah, I don't know. Hopefully I'll see you there, Mike, because that'd be fun.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah, and then other just DrupalCon stuff to be aware of. The community summit I'm going to be involved with is on Monday, where we get together and sprint on community things instead of code, per se. And you need to register in advance if you want to do that. It's free, but you need to register so that we know how many lunches to order and that kind of thing. So... if you want to do that stuff, please sign up on the DrupalCon site. And then, again, there are sprints on the Friday of DrupalCon, which is always happens, is typical. But there are also extended sprints the weekend before and the weekend after. And again, you really should sign up in advance. I'm sure if you just show up, you can still work on things. But things like making sure they have enough room, a location with enough space for people, and having like food and refreshments for people, is all dependent on numbers. So if you can sign up for that stuff in advance, you will really help the people who are trying to organize these things. So go sign up. Cool. That's what I got. News and events, fun stuff. Let's get to the meat of the subject today. So Drupal news. So let's start off with just sort of setting the tone. Why are we having this podcast? Why is Drupal news important? Like, why would you want to keep up with, oh my god, the craziness of all the amount of Drupal news that's out there?
For me, when Drupal 8 lands, there's going to be a large amount of learning that every Drupal developer will need to do, and it just makes sense to be doing it now. So I try to follow Drupal news. I try to follow what's going on in the Drupal issue queue, so that I could find things and I could start discussions around specific issues I'm finding, different things about those issues that are interesting. But also, the story of Drupal and how it's going from 7 to 8 is extremely interesting to me, because I've always wanted to take a legacy code base and try to revamp it and try to understand it intimately, understanding the ins and outs of it. That's what Drupal is doing as it's going from 7 to 8, and it's kind of interesting to see the evolution going forward. So it's easy to geek out about it.
I think it depends on, what your interest level with Drupal is. I mean, if you do Drupal professionally on a day-to-day basis, then I think it's important to keep up with news just to as kind of a informal continuing education for yourself, to find out what are the current techniques, or what are, what's the best practice, or look, here's a case study where they did something really novel with module X. So I think it's really, it's important to different types of people for different reasons. I know that, and I'm sure, you guys probably have had the same experience. When you are working with someone who's new to Drupal, I often kind of point them to Drupal Planet and just say, check out Drupal Planet. You're not going to, want to read everything there, but there's going to be some newbie articles. There's going to be information about what's happening in the community. So you can kind of take a pulse and start, getting yourself more involved and just having a better understanding of how we work. And I think if you have a better understanding of how the community works, and that can very easily trickle down to making you, work more efficiently and better.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think I started following the Planet when I'd built my first Drupal site. I'd been doing it for a while, wasn't really paying attention to the community. But I knew at a certain point I realized that there was going to be a new version, and I had no idea when it was going to come out. I didn't know how that was going to affect me, and I kind of freaked out a little bit. and so that's when I actually started following the Planet and just trying to pay attention so that it would help me figure out how to do my job better, and that I wouldn't get blindsided by things that were going on sort of quote unquote out of my control, you know? And then of course I end up getting sucked further and further in the community and having more and more control over those things. But yeah, for me, it's just like how, if Drupal is an important part of something that you do, whether it's professionally or not, you know, maybe you're just running your own site, but it's really important to you, you know, your blog even, having some context for the community that makes this thing, improves this thing, changes this thing, is, I think, a really interesting piece. Like you were saying, Mike, you know, it's like understanding sort of the larger picture of this piece of software, I think, is one of the great advantages to an open source community and the community that we have. And you should take advantage of that by paying attention to what the community is talking about and what they're doing.
Yeah, and it lets you kind of see how the sausage is made. And it, you know, for good or bad.
Right, which can go both ways all the time, right?
Even the bad things are educational.
Absolutely. Cool. So now that we've established that you really should be paying attention to the news, folks, there are lots of different ways to get the news. So we mentioned the Drupal Planet, and obviously we have... you know, everybody on this podcast right now provides news in some format, in some way. So I kind of want to run through each of you and find out why you started doing what you do and why you picked the format that you happen to use. So let's start with Mike. And Mike has a podcast similar to this one, obviously.
Yeah, but ours we have no time constraints, so we just ramble on for, I think, normally about 4.5 hours.
The Lullabot podcast used to be pretty intense. I've been very kind of draconian about cutting that down.
We try so hard. We actually had a mini celebration a month or so ago when we actually, you know, it was our first podcast like under an hour in years. But anyway, so yeah, I had a little cupcake. I was very happy with that, but. I got involved with Drupal back when 4.7 was in beta, and it kind of reminded me of the story that you just told, Addy, where 4.6 was out, and I spent a couple days messing around with 4.6, and then I found Drupal Planet, and then I discovered, oh, well, 4.7 is in beta, and it's got this big new form API thing. So I decided, well, I'm not even going to look at 4.6. I'm just going to start working with the beta. And at the time, there was... You know, I'm here in Florida, and there were no meetups in Florida. There was nothing going on. So there was a Florida group, but there wasn't a whole lot of activity on it. Mm-hmm. So I suggested that we have a meetup in Orlando, which for me is still about an hour away. And at that first meetup, we drew probably maybe a dozen people, but literally from all over the state. It was crazy. So we would have these meetups once a month, where there'd be, you know, a friend of ours from Sarasota driving up, which is a good 2.5 hours away. And I found that a few of us at that, we were the only ones presenting regularly, where we kind of ended up driving the conversation. And, you know, I got to be friends with them. And this is Andrew and Ryan, who are two mm-hmm. of our co-hosts now. And we got to know each other kind of at the same time, when we were all relatively new to Drupal. The conversation was easy. We liked making each other laugh. And it was just kind of a natural progression. Like, you know, we like talking about this stuff. We know that when people attend the meetups, they like listening to the discussion between the three of us, because we tend to kind of, you know, push the ball a little bit further every time. So over the course of a few months, we said, well, let's start a podcast where we just, you know, it's kind of like the analogous to a meetup almost.
Right. It's an online audio meetup.
Yeah. Where we picked a topic and we just, you know, we talked about it as well as we could. And then over the years, we've developed a little bit more of a format where, you know, there's always a guest with an interview, and then there's some news. I mean, not mm-hmm. terribly different from what you do here, only with less of cracking a whip on the time. But it's just, for me, it's kind of scratching my own itch as well, because I know that in order to be successful as a Drupal professional, I need to keep up with the news. So mm-hmm. I use the podcast as an excuse to force myself to keep up with Drupal Planet, to subscribe to Bob's newsletter, to follow a bunch of Drupal related accounts on Twitter. Mm-hmm. So I kind of tricked myself into following Drupal news because I have this podcast I have to prepare for.
Yeah, fair enough. Same thing happens to me because like I can get my head completely out of the game, but then it's like, okay, I got to do a podcast on something, and I should probably figure out what's going on so I can mention it. Like, yeah, it is. It's a good way to keep your toe in the pool.
And it ends up being like one night a week. I will, after dinner, I'll grab my iPad and go find a quiet spot and just catch up on Drupal Planet and start bookmarking things and just figure out what the heck are we going to talk about in the next podcast? What's going on? What's interesting?
Yep. Yeah, and it's interesting you mentioned the weekly drop. So like I have my podcast template, and one of the things I stick in the news section is go look at weekly drop and see if there's anything that I should grab from there.
Play a game. I don't think I've ever shared this with Bob, but I play a game with the weekly drop where I take it as a personal loss if I see something in the weekly drop that I haven't discovered myself.
I do the same thing. I'm like, ha, yes, I totally tweeted that before the weekly drop came out. Boom!
I beat Bob. Woohoo!
See, yeah.
Because he's got that weekly thing, man. So it's like you have until Thursday.
Yeah, you've got some serious time to make up. It's not really fair.
Every now and then, Bob, there's something in there that I haven't seen.
And it's like, zing!
Man, where did he get that?
Yeah. Well, so Bob, why don't we talk about the weekly drop since we've mentioned it now? Like, how did you come to doing the newsletter in that format?
Well, it's kind of similar to Michael or Mike's. I'm reading right now, so similar to Mike's experience. I wanted to get more involved in the community, do something. A friend of mine and I started a local meetup group in Fresno, and that was cool. And then I subscribed to several developer newsletters, and I was really getting a lot of value out of it. And I thought one day I just thought, like, man, there should be something like this for Drupal. At the time I was subscribed to the Planet, but the Planet can be like, if you get busy and you get behind, like, you're just gonna miss, because there's just so much content. And I read the Planet every week, which is the interesting part, is that I've told Mike before, that the reason I started the weekly drop was because I know there are a lot of people who just can't keep up don't want to read an RSS feed, or they just like a digest of, maybe the most popular or whatever. They like a curated list. And so Peter Cooper, who does this, like a whole bunch of developer newsletters, I just kind of emailed him and said, hey, I have this idea. What do you think? You have any advice? And he really helped me out a lot getting started, just giving me advice on ways to do it. And so I ended up reading The Planet more than ever because there's just so much information there. So the funny thing is the reason that I started it was kind of it made me start reading The Planet more. But yeah, and besides that, like, also another aspect of why I started it was I was just kind of curious if I could make any type of a business model with it. Like, I was interested in learning the kind of marketing side of development and building email lists and that kind of stuff. And just like, how does that work? And how do you do it in a way that's not, a jerky way to do it and provide real value and that kind of thing. And so I've gained a lot just in experience for doing that kind of stuff. So, and the other thing was I wanted to get involved with the community and do something that other people who aren't already doing really well. Like, I like podcasts. I love listening to podcasts, but like, there's some really good podcasts in the Drupal world. So I don't think we really need another podcast unless I had some different and unique way to do it. So the newsletter thing wasn't being done that I was aware of. So I thought, hey, I'll give it a try. And it kind of caught on. So, it's a lot of fun to do. But as you guys know, doing something on a weekly basis is work. So
yeah, it's a little intense. Even doing things on a bi-weekly basis can be a little intense. So
podcasting is a lot of work too. Like, that was the other thing I didn't like. Yeah,
just don't want to deal with it.
I don't want to deal with audio.
yeah, and I guess there are definitely a bunch of podcasts. I mean, obviously there's Drupal Easy and and the Drupalize Me podcast, but Acquia also has a podcast.
There's another one that's started up, Talking Drupal. I have folks out of Rhode Island.
Yeah, and Modules Unraveled has a podcast. I know there are also a couple podcasts in other languages. I know for certain there's a Spanish one and a Swedish one. So, yeah, there's definitely a lot of podcasts out there. And the thing is, there's so much information that that's fine because there's so much information to share.
But, so, you know, it's good that there's a wide variety because it's kind of like music. I mean, people, you know, need to find a voice that they can relate to and that presents it in a format that they like. So I think it's great that there's so many.
Yeah, and honestly, I mean, I know, you know, people who really like podcasts or like use them, especially like commuting or walking the dog or whatever. I mean, they listen to all of them because it's all different information. It's not like everybody's talking about the same thing every week, you know? So it's just a lot of different information to get in them. So that brings us to Chris's Drupal and coffee. Like, where did that come from and how does that work? Because that's it's a little different. It's kind of like a podcast, but not really.
it's not really a podcast in the aspect of I'm not creating an RSS feed. It's really a YouTube only kind of thing. And that's kind of me coming from Bob's perspective of, you know, I don't have time to actually learn how to podcast. I don't know the right equipment to get. But this new Hangout on Air feature that Google Plus provide was easy enough for me to do a few tests, and then it just became an interest to, you know, actually meet some of the people that are involved in making Drupal and making Drupal's community. So it just came from the perspective of, like, I want to learn more. I'm going to mm-hmm. participate more, and I'm looking for a way to do that. So kind of started a quick podcast. I have to find a half hour out of my work day to try to get it done. So it's not like I'm working less. I just have to carve off some time, and it's a half hour because that's really all the time I have to spare within the current week. And it's fun. When I started it up, I was working with Andrea Sober, and I was really interested in doing kind of a morning talk show kind of thing format, and talk about Drupal, something that was quick, something that was light, something that was a little punchy. And then when she left to Palantir, I've been trying to keep it going, but of late I haven't been doing a good job of creating new episodes. I'm just doing a lot of things on Google Plus to try to talk about news, and every now and then I coordinate a show to get together to talk about some of the other things that are going on in Drupal.
Yeah, so yeah, it's interesting too, because there's, yeah, like you actually have the Hangout that's like a recorded video, right, of you chatting with folks. But there's also the Drupal community on Google Plus, which you are really heavily involved in. And I guess that kind of brings us to, there are things other than, you know, these things that we put out, like, where do we get our news? I mean, as I've already shared, I tend to use the Weekly Drop. and we've talked about the Drupal Planet. But, like, what are the other places out there for, like, finding the information and getting the news? Because it's a really big internet out there.
That is true. I like to look at the Git log, actually. And once again, I am a nerd, so this definitely in the classification of a nerdy thing to do. But every now and then, I'm looking through the Git log. I see something that's kind of interesting. Like today, the method view get view was removed, and that's kind of like when I was learning views. That's what I did if I wanted to monkey around with a view, and it's just kind of interesting that it's gone now.
You're like, what do I do now? 8.
And I was a little bit alarmed when I first saw it, but after I looked at the actual what what they took out, it's like, oh, well, we had been using this other method to actually do it for a long time. So this is just a formality.
I think it's funny that we've covered the two extremes of, like, where do you get Drupal news now? We've covered, like, the Drupal Planet, which is probably, you know, one of the most publicly accessible and friendly places, to reading the Drupal 8 commit log. Now we just have to fill in the middle.
Yeah. Yeah, there's more than Chris, just those.
I think I interrupted Chris, though, so I'm sorry
about that. I was just gonna say, like, it was best when Google Reader was still around, because I used to be able to get, I had an app that actually read to me out loud my RSS feed, and I would subscribe to an RSS feed of Drupal commits, and so I'd be driving into work, and it Drupal would just read me podcast. Commit number 7765, title of the commit, contributions, and actual the specific files that were committed. And that was great.
I just have to say, it's kind of fitting that you work at the nerdery. Because that is some nerdy stuff right there, my friend.
You know, Bob and Michael were talking about how they kind of got started. And my whole thing is, like, this is kind of what I do to the people that are around me. I don't stop talking about Drupal. So when the Google Plus thing came around, it was great, because now I have an outlet that doesn't annoy my people around me.
I think I'm like tearing with, you know, with laughter here, because you have, like, more than earned the lab coat that you wear in your Skype profile pic.
Absolutely.
With the fact that you used to, you know,
have an RSS feed read aloud to you. My Lord.
Yeah, like, I don't know what I'm even doing on this podcast anymore. I submit.
May I suggest that, Chris, you could do a podcast that was just the output of the Git commit log.
With commentary. That would be awesome.
That's kind of what I do read, already, like, though.
So they, oh my gosh, they just removed this. What? Why are they removing that? I don't think so. Like, you know, you could do all that. That'd be cool.
It almost makes it sound like a sports-oriented podcast.
Play-by-play of the Git commit log.
Chris, yeah. You're walking around Austin with a Google Glass, right?
Yeah. I was.
That seems like, I mean, you're already set up to just, you know, turn that thing on and just have a running commentary. You know, your podcast is basically, it sounds like, your life.
It could be Chris's brain. That's the name of it.
Chris's brain. Direct link.
I don't think anyone wants that.
You never know, my friend.
Wow. Well, I'm going to, you know, let me just throw in, because I could talk about, you know, Chris reading the Git commit log all day.
Because that's fascinating.
Yeah, and this is why our podcast goes 3 hours. let me back out. And the other, you know, we're talking about, I guess, the resources. The two that I'll mention are, you know, Twitter. You know, I follow a lot of people who are very involved in the Drupal community, so I'm pretty religious about following that. And the other place, which is just it's developed over a long period of time, is just via Skype. You know, because people know that I do this, I'll get, you know, 3 or 4 times a week someone, you know, hitting me up on Skype or even on IRC saying, hey, have you seen this? With link. Cool. And then we're lucky enough where because we have several co-hosts, you know, 3 of us are in Florida, 1 of us is up in New York. We hit a lot of different camps and stuff. So some of our news, you know, we get from, you know, something that happened at a camp or a session that, you know, introduced some technique or something.
Yeah. Camps are great for really diving into the pool, figuring out what's going on.
Yeah, you tend to hear stuff there that is in very early in its conception. You know, it hasn't been fleshed out enough where it's a blog post, but people are talking about it, saying, wouldn't it be cool if this did that?
Yeah.
Or wouldn't it be crazy if somebody tried something like this?
Yeah.
And then somebody listens to that and like, well, you know what? That doesn't sound so crazy.
I'm going
to
do it right now on sprint day. Yeah.
It's cool to see, like, how stuff kind of starts as a conversation. Like, I would point to something that recently is the whole headless Drupal stuff. I mean, that's not new, but it's kind of
taken off right now.
Taken off like a few weeks ago. There was a blog post about something. I can't remember who was the first one, but like in the past 3 weeks, there's just been like everybody's writing about it. Modules are popping up. It's just, it's interesting to watch the community just kind of organically like start doing stuff. And I know working in Media Current, sometimes this will happen where we'll start working on something and then we talk to somebody else and at another company and like, hey, we're doing the kind of same thing. So it's interesting to kind of, as an observer of the community, as well as somebody in it, to kind of watch this stuff organically, kind of waves of things come through, through the planet or through, you know, the newsletter and the podcast. And it's just interesting to watch.
Yeah, you can see the trends. It's like little waves of topics or things that are hot in the community at the time and stuff like that. They come through in waves.
Yeah, there are the trends that are going on within the Drupal community, and then there are the trends going on in the industry too. And it's kind of interesting to see, like if they were waves, how the when they collide, how, you know, what, which wave was stronger and how they influence each other.
Yeah. Do you guys follow resources on general web stuff, or are you pretty much focused on Drupal things? I mean, obviously, like all of the, a lot of the stuff that we're putting out in our own news channels or whatever is Drupal focused. But like, I know, like for me, especially for like our Twitter, Facebook account, stuff like that, social media stuff that we do, it's kind of all over the map. Maybe half of it's Drupal and then half of it's other like cool web stuff that's going on. Do you guys follow channels for that kind of thing as well?
Yeah, totally. I try to stay up on just like the general development, you know, world, as well as front end and back end stuff. Mm-hmm. I think depending on your role and your career kind of aspirations, depends on how important that is. But I've been in the Drupal community for, you know, quite a few years. I don't know how many right now off the top of my head, but I have noticed like in the past that we tended to be isolated, and there'd be things that like just coming from other communities that we were just kind of seem like we were blind to. A lot of front end stuff, JavaScript stuff, and just maybe even the, you know, so, and sometimes it would kind of surprise me. I see somebody who's like really like a hardcore Drupal developer, like very talented, but just not aware of other things that are going on in other communities. But I think like in the past year and a half, that has drastically changed, which is an awesome thing. So I subscribe to newsletters that are like, I mentioned Peter Cooper, like JavaScript Weekly. He's got HTML5 Weekly. There's some really good newsletters there, and that's an easy way to kind of quickly stay up. Or there's other podcasts like Shop Talk, which is a good one if you want to kind of just get the pulse of the front end development world. And I subscribe to those kind of things. That way, it doesn't take a lot of my time, but I don't understand all the things they're talking about, but I'm aware of them.
Yeah. And then when that starts, because it's interesting to sort of be following these things and seeing the trends, you know, as was said, you know, in the greater web world, and then where those trends intersect with Drupal, because you end up seeing conversations about all kinds of things in the Drupal world. Like, thinking back a little bit further in time, but things like SAS or just using preprocessors and stuff, there's a lot of discussion in the Drupal community about those things and how it relates to Drupal, you know, but it's not a Drupal thing, or even Angular, and talking, you know, the whole headless Drupal and talking about various JavaScript technologies to use on the front end and stuff. Like, those are things that are happening in the web, and now it's coming into Drupal conversations on a much more regular basis, which is just an interesting thing to see and to understand. Again, like, if this is being talked about a lot in the Drupal world and the Drupal news, chances are probably pretty good it's being talked about in a lot of different places with a lot of different perspectives.
I like to follow a lot of different RSS feeds, tech news, about just the general industry, privacy issues. Like to follow. I really like this whole headless Drupal thing as well. I'm actually kind of giving a talk on that at Drupal Camp, on a different angle of it. I generally follow everything that Google does because I'm also a giant Google nerd. and I'm also an Android developer, so I kind of do all the things. I like being multi-talented. The one thing at work that I love the best is that I don't have to do the same thing every day. And so I'm constantly looking for new things that are interesting me. And that's the way to do it. Just subscribe to all the news sources and let it just sink in.
Yeah.
So I think I'm a little bit different where I do follow, some other non-Drupal tech news. But I'm very cognizant of the fact that people who listen to the podcast, and I've learned this over the several years, probably more than that now that we've been doing it, that we have a really solid mix of people new to Drupal and people who have been doing Drupal for a while. So it's always, I'm always torn about, like Angular was a perfect example that you just brought up. I'm always torn about, should we do an Angular podcast? Should we, where we talk about Angular? But if we do that, for the people who are, on the beginning part of the Drupal path, they're not going to get a whole lot out of it, and it's not really going to help them. So it's always like
different topics it's are so all tough. Over the map. Yeah, I mean, even just like what you're talking about with Drupal, we did a whole podcast on sort of like services and the new stuff that's happening in Drupal 8. It's pretty technical stuff, and I find that like my role in those podcasts is quite often, and I don't have to play, is to ask questions like what? Like, what does that mean?
Exactly.
Like, put that into more like human understandable terms. Because you do have a range of people who are listening, and it's like, this is really cool technical stuff, but not everybody is, they might be glossing over a little. And I'm not saying every podcast has to appeal to everybody. Obviously they're not going to, but it is a balance of just sort of being aware of, you can only cover so much in a reasonable manner in any given podcast. And so it's like, how do you approach that the right way to kind of cover, the broadest audience and make it accessible to the most people? And it's interesting, like the number of people who, that when they are, just like we said, getting the context and orienting yourself with Drupal in the community, these news channels are a good way to do that. And so that's what people do. They come to these things like the podcast and newsletter to figure out what's going on. And so there's also an element of just helping keep those people oriented as you're, slamming a lot of information at them.
Yeah, I always try and, I'm always thinking about the question of like, if we're going to talk about something on the podcast, why should we care? That's what the listener, I imagine, is saying is, why should we care about Angular? So we're not so much talking about how do you use Angular, but
exactly
how can Angular make us, better developers, or what problem will that solve?
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. So I'm going to sort of start wrapping things up. But what I wanted to ask was, you've been doing this for a while. Some of this is longer than others. I mean, like the Drupal Easy podcast and Lullabot podcast have been around for a really long time. Bob, how long have you had the newsletter now?
It's like, oh man, I should have been prepared for this.
Yeah. It's been a little, it's been a while now.
Like it's been a couple years. Yeah, totally. Go to the archive page, and it's an archive of all the episodes, all the issues, whatever they are,
podcast,
the web pages.
Ah.
Yeah, and the first one was September 22nd, 2011.
Wow, yeah, so look, you're coming up on 3 years, dude.
Yeah, it's crazy. It just kind of slowly, I did it right before the 2011, I started it right before the 2011 Bad Camp, and I was like, I had no idea if anyone would even subscribe to this thing. So apparently
it's working.
Yeah.
So my question to you guys, all of you, is you're still doing it. You've been doing this kind of stuff for a while. Do you think you'll keep doing it, or does it get tiring at times? Like, and I'll say like for Lullabot. So Lullabot was doing really regular podcasts from when the company started, when it was just Matt and Jeff. They started the podcast them. And then, we went through this period of time where everybody was just too busy. We couldn't do it. It completely fell apart. We would put out a podcast like every 3 months or something like that, and I had people asking me, is this dead? And then we decided to like revamp it, a little while ago. I don't even know when that was, 2 years ago, I guess, at one of our retreats, and kind of redo it as Drupalize Me, because that's like the really Drupal focus thing. And we've gotten back into it. We've missed a couple episodes again. You know, because it is, it's a bunch of work, and it's like to just kind of keep that machine like churning. So I'm just curious, like, how you guys feel about like where you are in terms of that the energy is required, and the you know, what you get out of it, because I feel like I get a lot out of it. And do you think you're just gonna keep going with it, or do you feel like you'll take a break at some point?
I'll go first, since there was a pause there. But you know, I think the four of us, you know, we can all say the same thing, that it's incredibly difficult to keep these things going consistently.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I have like mentally committed to doing a podcast every other week. And I'm really, I tend to be kind of the driving force of like, we're doing it this day.
It has to happen, man.
It's happening. So if you can make it, great. If not, no worries. So I think for the foreseeable future, we have no plans on letting go. And actually, it's taken us, I'm going to pimp the podcast one more time here, because it's only taken us 137 episodes, but Dries is going to be our guest next Woo-hoo! Week. We've never had a podcast. So.
Nicely done.
I was actually thinking about maybe that should be the last podcast, but.
And done.
And we're done. So, no, but I just think for me, I stay motivated by booking guests that I want to talk to. And every now and then, there will be a guest that actually, and I normally don't say it directly on the podcast, but they're directly scratching an itch. Like, mm-hmm. I have some knowledge that I need. How can I get some of this person's time without paying them? How can I pick their brain in a way that, you know, also massages their ego a little bit?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, so, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, that's so kind of what
keeps working.
Yeah, so I think as long as, you know, it really sounds like a selfish thing to say as I'm saying it out loud, but as long as I'm getting something out of it, then I stay motivated.
Yeah, totally.
And that's,
I share the same thing. Like, there's weeks, like the last few weeks, it's been tough to get the newsletter out, but you get this responsibility, and this is just kind of part of my personality. Sometimes I don't know how to let go. Like, if I've said I'm going to do something, sometimes I'll do it even though, like, maybe I shouldn't.
Even if it hurts.
Exactly. And then for the newsletter, I sell sponsorships. And I don't really invest a lot of time in the sales part of it. But whenever, especially when money's involved and people are expecting something to happen, that helps. So there's like the emotional factor. There's also the financial factor of, like, it's not really the, like, I would die if I didn't get the money, but I've agreed to do this for these folks, and they've been nice enough to send a little money my way. So that's a motivation. But as far as the excitement about it, I get recharged when I go to events like Drupal cons or camps, mm-hmm. and get to talk to people and people I've never met before. Sometimes I'll hear like, oh, we really enjoy it or whatever. Or somebody like, you know, that's well known in the community. And I'm like, wow, I didn't even know you read the newsletter. That's really cool. And that kind of emotional boost, sometimes I'll get tired of doing it, mm-hmm. as I know you guys all probably do. Like, that really kind of gives me a charge. So, people dig it. People dig it, you know. Yeah. It's not just numbers and MailChimp.
Yeah, people are,
you know,
actually consuming it, and it's helpful. And they, like, yeah, I love being at an event, and people are like, I love your podcast. Thanks so much. You know, it's like, it just feels good to hear that, because you're just sort of putting stuff out. And there's really not a whole lot of feedback mechanism, you know, built into the formats, you know? So you're like, is anybody listening? Does anybody care?
Yeah, exactly.
So it's always great to get that, like, real immediate feedback from people, from individuals. Yeah.
I've had to seek out things, find ways to keep doing what I'm doing, but, you know, things that take less time.
Mm-hmm.
I know that I can't stop myself from posting to the Google Plus community and sharing news in that way. But I do know that having a consistent schedule of putting the hangouts together and those shows together is probably not something that I could keep up over a long period of time. I admire Mike's ability to stay on a schedule and make that happen on a week in, week out. I just know that if it's just me, I can't keep that going.
Yeah. It's hard.
But I can share news and I can geek out about that. I'm good at that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there's ways to trick yourself into doing it though.
I'd love to learn those.
Well, I'll tell you, one of the ways I trick myself is we schedule out our guests, you know, months in advance. So we currently have, you know, our guests for the next 2 months scheduled with dates and times. So these are people who have agreed to come on the podcast on a particular date and time. So
you got to be there.
Yeah, there's no slacking on my part.
Unless you lose the internet and you have to reschedule it for the following week.
Yes.
But that never happens.
No, please.
Yeah, there's a psychological aspect to everything we do. And sometimes as developers and designers, we get very technical, like, well, I don't need to do this. I only need, if I do this, this, and this, it'll work. And we forget that we're human beings with brains that sometimes we don't understand. And sometimes we need to do little psychological things to encourage ourselves or make sure that we don't forget. And yeah, I have like a weekly reoccurring event that is write the weekly drop.
Right. And, what? And oh, it's yeah, like that.
My family knows about it. You know, it's like, it's just known that Tuesday evening is the day that Daddy is working on the newsletter. Mm-hmm. So sometimes that gets bumped around, but you know, it's there. It's just like a client meeting or just like, you know, anything else that's in my calendar. Mm-hmm. So.
Cool.
So it's all guilt-driven, I think, is what we've arrived at.
Basically.
Yeah, okay. Making commitments to people outside of, like, you yourself also helps. It's like, people are counting on it.
And just summarize the whole podcast right there.
Dun-dun-dun! This will be out on August 8th. Well, we should wrap up. We're hitting the top of the hour here. Does anybody have any shout out or oh my god I didn't say it thing that they want to tack in there real quick?
Can I give a quick shout out to the folks that are organizing the Twin Cities Drupal Camp? I've been listening in to how they're organizing, making sure things happen for the camp over on their base camp that they're organizing. They're doing some heroic efforts to make sure that everything's running out without a hitch.
Awesome. Cool.
Yeah, can I just mention really quick our, you know, Addy, you and I have talked about this in the past, our long-form training course. We've brought it online. Which is cool. And yeah, I actually felt bad because I was looking up at when you were talking about the events and everybody on the panels is going to be somewhere the next few months and speaking. And I'm not going to be because I'm going to be, you know, online teaching a 12-week Drupal class. So, you know, there's more information about that on Drupal Easy if anybody's interested. I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, it's good stuff there, indeed. We actually had one of the interns from one of Mike's classes year before last working on Drupalize Me. Yeah. Cool. Well, we're going to wrap her up, folks. Thank you guys very much for coming on the podcast and for being accommodating about my loss of internet last week. Hopefully I will catch you guys at a Drupal event soon. If not in Amsterdam, then hopefully definitely in DrupalCon LA, next spring. So, cool. Awesome. Thanks a lot. Thanks for listening, folks. If anybody has questions or comments, you can always leave them on the podcast, you know, comments. But you can also contact us on Twitter and Facebook. It's just twitter.com/DrupalizeMe or facebook.com/DrupalizeMe. We like to get ideas about what you want to hear about. And just, you know, if you got thoughts or comments about it, are you listening? Are you listening? Is anybody out there? Hello? Thanks, everybody. And we'll talk to you in 2 weeks, I hope. Bye.